Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good morning, Memphis. This is Drew Hill, filling in for Jeff today on 92.9 FM ESPN. I hope you stayed up for the Grizzlies game last night, because if you did, you were rewarded with quite the finish. Ja Morant catches the ball with under 10 seconds to play, sees the lane, drives, takes the floater, leaves his hand in the air, says, "Hey, Mom!" And the shot goes through. The Grizzlies survive a game on the road in Phoenix last night. It was a fun one. It was also a late one. We will get to that in the first hour. I have Jeffrey Wright on the other side of the glass from me.
Good morning, sir.
He will be playing trivia later in the second hour, using his gigantic noggin to probably embarrass some poor
I don't know, man. Ever since my Twitter's been hacked, like, I don't know. If it's we're in the current events era, I'm done.
That is true. I didn't think about that.
Could be bad.
You may have an advantage this week if you are playing against Jeffrey Wright.
Or it could also be spooky season. I hate spooky season, and Kevin loves spooky season, so you could probably smoke me like that as well.
We will also talk to Chris Harrington, my colleague, my podcast partner, at 10 o'clock about the Grizzlies, about the win last night, Cedric Coward, all of that good stuff. But how do we not start right there with what happened last night, Jeffrey?
You want the call?
Yeah. First of all, we got to do that first. Let's hear the Ja Morant game winner from the golden vocal cords of our friend Eric Hasseltine. How did it sound?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
He's just the best.
He's so good at his job.
I love listening to Eric. Sometimes I'll put the broadcast on my phone if you get on the Odyssey app while I listen to the game. Obviously, Pete and Brevin do a great job too, but I try to mix it up and show some love to Eric as well because he is fantastic. No, I mean, it was an incredible play, an incredible finish to what was a game that was entirely about survival for the Memphis Grizzlies. It's
physically and emotionally.
Both, yes. You know, you had Royce O'Neal just lighting him up from three-point range. You had Devin Booker doing mostly nothing for
and
the
then
first
everything.
Two quarters, and then everything in the second half. He had 16 points in the fourth quarter, dang near stole the game away from Memphis late. Memphis's offense was a little bit sluggish in the first half. It didn't feel
totally the word
together.
I used was clunky.
Yeah, it was clunky. Clunky's a good word for it. And then you had a critical, pretty terrible Jaren Jackson Jr. turnover in the final minute of that game that was nearly what we would be talking about this morning on the radio, if not for one Ja Morant, who came right back down the court after the Suns missed the shot following the turnover and scored the game-winning bucket with a floater in the lane. This is just what we have come to expect, right, from Ja Morant. And it's amazing that we've reached this point. I saw that since 2019, there have been two players competing for the lead in terms of go-ahead shots with 10 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. It is Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics, who is in the lead with 9. Right behind him is Ja Morant with 8. The difference between those two players: Jason Tatum is shooting 27% on those shots. Ja Morant is shooting 50% in go-ahead buckets with under 10 seconds to go in NBA games. That is unbelievable. That is so efficient, especially in a situation where everyone at the end of the game knows who's getting the ball.
Correct.
The entire focus of the defense is on Ja Morant. And Ja is so good for so many different reasons late in these games. And I thought last night was a lot more than just hitting the game-winning shot, and we'll get to that. But in these situations when Ja gets the ball, he does what he does over the course of the entire game. It all starts with that. That no guard, I feel like, besides maybe Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, can get paint touches the way Ja does. He has this unique gift to slither, to weave, to duck, to bob, to find a way to get to the painted area. And what's most impressive about these situations is that Ja almost never takes bad shots at the end of the game, despite the fact that all the attention is on him and everyone knows he's going to get the ball. It is like he has this special talent where he knows exactly when he needs to get all the way to the rim. He knows exactly when the trees are down there and he needs to pull up for the floater. And that is, we take that for granted, but that is an unbelievable skill to have if you are a point guard in that situation. Because how many times do you see late game situations where people just try to draw a foul? And that's not what Ja does. Like, that is what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander does. We saw it in the first game of the regular season. But
we've seen it every game.
But that's not Ja. Ja finds a way to get a good shot despite everyone on the court knowing he's going to take it. And he almost always gets a good shot. And it's why he's shooting 50% late in these games. And that was just an incredible example of it last night. Because it was a unique situation. If we just break down the play and we talk about the play in general, there was a lot more than just the floater. First, there was, I thought, somewhat of a greedy shot by Devin Booker late in that game.
Yeah.
Who launched a long three. The Suns were up by one. Yes, a three essentially wins the game for you because you go up by four in that situation. But they didn't need a three. And he took a long three, and there was a long rebound. Very underrated part of this play, the second most underrated part of this play, was Cedric Coward skying for that rebound and making sure he got it. A good pop of his athleticism there, a very important play to the game. The most underrated part of the play was the combination of Santi Aldama and Ja Morant late. Coward throws the ball up the court to Santi. Santi catches it around midcourt. He does what every player on that Grizzlies team knows what to do in that situation, which is locate number 12 and pick up the phone and call him. And he turns, he immediately fires the pass to Ja. It gives Ja enough time to assess the situation. Ja wastes no time in doing so. The most underrated, the best part about the play was, like, Ja didn't wait for the clock to tick down to make sure that the Grizzlies were going to get the last shot. Not that they needed to. They were down by one, right? You extend the game if you shoot it. But, like, Ja caught that pass and immediately saw that the hole, that the lane was open. And he got there with very little pushback. He got a great shot off. He made it. He's just incredible in these moments, and he has this intangible it factor when it comes to these late game situations. And to me, and I tweeted this last night after the game and wrote about it in the game story at the Daily Memphian. I don't know about you, Jeffrey, but it wasn't just the shot that was, like, so impressive to me. It was the combination of the shot, but it was also the fact that Ja did what he does the best. He did what one of the things, only things that that he can do on a basketball court that no one else can do. And that is completely control that game in the fourth quarter. Like, took control of the tempo.
From the Grizzlies' perspective.
Yes.
Because Booker obviously had a huge part of the fourth quarter too.
Right. But he didn't just make the shot. He found Cedric Coward for the critical three-pointer that put him up by four.
God, I thought that was a dagger.
He threw a perfect alley-oop, running alley-oop to Coward in transition. And he found Cam Spencer for another three-pointer in that fourth quarter. All of that, in addition to some other plays, which I'm sure we'll get into, combined to give them enough cushion to survive what they had to survive. If we're talking survival, Ja is Bear Grylls, right? Like, he is the ultimate essential to have packed if you are the Grizzlies in that situation, because he just has the ability to flip everything in a second. And I thought the way that he played last night was, it wasn't a perfect game, right? He had six turnovers, but that was peak Ja late. And it was just incredible to watch. It's a reminder of what he's capable of in those moments. We never forget it, though, because it seems like he does it every single time. And it's just, it's amazing to watch. What did you make
To your point, Ja was 4 of 6 in the fourth quarter. The rest of the Grizzlies were 5 of 16. Like, it was more than just, like, being the offensive engine. It was like he was the one making the shots, too. It was one of those games that when you're watching it, I didn't know what to make of it in the first half, because in the first half, I'm sitting there going, like, all the energy seems to be over there. But then by the fourth quarter, you're like, the Grizzlies had kind of taken control of the game. And I get it, Devin Booker's on the other side, and he gets to make plays too. But it was one of those ones, but by the end of the game, if they didn't win it, not that any game in November is going to be like something that you'll remember forever. But I've kind of in my back of my mind, like, this would be a bad loss. Because like, I just think right now, so much of it is win these games that you can and just try to stay above water until you get the reinforcements back. And that would have felt like a game that they let completely slip away, and they didn't. Yeah. And they didn't, largely to your entire point, they didn't because Ja Morant did.
Yes. No, that's exactly right. And look, the schedule's going to get a lot more difficult in the coming weeks. You thought they'd have a pretty good opportunity against the Lakers, but Austin Reeves is just fireballing everybody right now. So, that one's definitely not a given on Friday night in FedEx Forum. Chris Harrington will be there for us. And it is very important, I think, that they take care of business in the games that are clear opportunities. And last night was a clear opportunity for the Memphis Grizzlies for multiple reasons. I mean, one, Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks did not play.
Yep.
Dylan Brooks, by the way, provided, I thought, one of the moments of the game. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
If you go back and watch the Jalen Wells four-point play in the fourth quarter, he catches Santi passes it to him in the corner. By the way, Santi was great last night. If we're going to criticize him for not, you know, being tough enough in the moments with Draymond Green, we got to give him some credit when he plays well. 14 points and 10 rebounds, big double-double. Bench was awesome last night for the Grizzlies. But when Santi passed that ball to Jalen Wells in the corner, and he makes the three, and Booker kind of crowds his space and pushes him into the into the bench, the ball goes through the net, and the FanDuel Sports broadcast cuts to a close-up of Jalen Wells. And Jalen Wells is kind of just staring there, like standing there staring at Devin Booker. Devin Booker's already complaining to the officials about the foul call.
As a tradition.
And to Jalen Wells' right is Dylan Brooks, who through the entire process just sat there with his lips formed in like a dissatisfied O and his hands clamped together, and you could just tell he was fuming in that moment. And Dylan's had the last laugh on most of these battles with the Grizzlies since since they moved on from him. I believe he was 6-2 going into last night. Obviously, Houston was a very good team. Phoenix, maybe not so much, but you know, it just felt like it was a fun moment because it sort of captured, hey, this is the, you know, there's Cedric Coward, there's Jalen Wells, these are the guys that sort of replaced him as the Grizzlies moved on, and there was Dylan just ticked that the play went that way. So I thought that was one of the great moments of the game, but overall, a game that the Grizzlies really needed to get. And in a way, a double win. Because if you're going to follow the Grizzlies draft, the 2026 draft, which is loaded at the top, if you've been paying attention to any of these college basketball exhibitions, and I watched Tennessee and Duke the other night, you know, Cam Boozer, tremendous player, going to go really high in the draft. Darren Peterson at Kansas, tremendous player, looked amazing against Louisville. Mykael Brown on Louisville, point guard. I don't know if that's the type of player the Grizzlies would be interested in if they have Ja, but another awesome player who's going to go in the top of the draft. It's loaded. Nate Amett at Tennessee, you know, size, can shoot it. Like, I think that there's going to be a lot of tanking going on, and I know tanking's kind of a trigger word with the NBA right now, but I suspect there will be a lot of tanking going on at the end of the year. And the Suns are not a team that's going to be tanking because they don't have their first round pick. So the Grizzlies are interested in the Suns being terrible in part because they have this very complex four team pick swap that involves the Wizards, the Suns, the Magic, and the Grizzlies. And the Grizzlies are going to end up with the second and third best picks of those four. So you would think Washington will be worse than Phoenix. Assuming that, you want Phoenix to be the second worst team in the NBA if you're the Grizzlies. That's the goal here, because it's unprotected. So not only do you get a win for yourself in the record books, you also get a win for yourself when it comes to the draft later on this year. So that was an extra benefit to finding a way to survive and win that game late. But I thought it was an entertaining game to watch. And if you stayed up late, you got rewarded. Do you still stay up late for all these games?
I was up late last night.
Even with a kid?
Yeah, because I put her down at 8. So that was the other thing. I put her down even before. I put her down like an hour before the game tips off.
Well, it's a good day if you did not stay up to go watch the highlights, because the second half of that game was really fun. And Cedric Coward just continues to be impressive in ways that...
I mean, I actually thought, other than Ja, I thought the biggest story of last night was Coward not only hitting the big shot and making some of the defensive plays that you referenced, but just the fact that already, what, 4 games in, granted they're shorthanded,
5, like, yeah,
they're trusting him.
Yeah,
I mean, he was closing the game, man.
Yeah, look, Islo, I'll give him some credit. He just went away from what wasn't working last night. He said, look, we got it was like the Pacers game felt like it was that way after they had just been run off the floor against Miami.
Yep.
And he had tried to use different lineups and he had taken Conchar out of the lineup. And it was like, we need to win this game.
Yep.
We're playing our best guys. Last night, the same situation. We need to win this game. We're playing our best guys. He went away from Javon Small. He played Cam Spencer in the fourth quarter. He went away from KCP and played Cedric Coward late in that game, too. And KCP wasn't great last night. So I thought that was good coaching on the part of Isolo in order to pull that game out. I don't think the Grizzlies win that game if he doesn't make those decisions. So he definitely deserves some credit, too, for the win. But Cedric Coward, to me, what's been most impressive and what I like the most about his first 5 games is that he seems to be living up to exactly what he was billed to be by the Grizzlies in the preseason. Like, what the Grizzlies said he was in the preseason is this player who has an immense amount of talent, who they are confident in because he could end up being a great player in a number of different directions, right? He could be a great secondary rim protector. He could be a great scorer. He could be a great on-ball defender and three-point shooter. He could be a 3-and-D guy. And everything he's done so far has suggested exactly that, right? That there is... Think back to some of his big plays, right? There was the 27-point game where he hit 6 threes, and the shooting motion looks really good.
Yeah.
You know,
and he has a very pretty shot.
And all the indicators, you know, free throw percentage, 2-point percentage, like all of the indicators are that he is a viable shooter. So that obviously is impressive, and you can see the 3-and-D potential that way. You can see superstar potential in some of these plays. I'm not saying that's what he's going to become, but you can see it because the athleticism pops. And when he's aggressive, especially like he was last night in the early stages of the game, he can get good shots for himself. He doesn't force it. He's a very efficient player. But if he did force it, I think the numbers would be higher because I think he's that skilled. And then lastly, when they talk about he could be an awesome secondary rim protector, all you got to do is think back to the game against New Orleans, the first game of the season, where he's walling up on Zion Williamson, and his ability to recover and help. And Sam Vecenie did a great breakdown at his Substack of Cedric Coward playing defense, if you want to check that out. But he absolutely looks like a player that could become, you know, more than just this ball of clay that he is right now and really take off in one of these directions. And guess what? If he takes off in multiple directions, that's an all-star level player. And so if that was what the Grizzlies wanted, right, that is exactly what Zach Kleiman talked about at the end of last season, or at the draft, when he had talked about trading Desmond Bane, and he said, we were just searching for higher-end outcomes. That's what he was talking about. the first five games of Cedric Coward. That's a player that has a higher end outcome. And so, and listen, Desmond Bain is awesome, but and maybe Cedric Coward never gets to the level of player that Desmond Bain is, but he has the potential to. And that's what we've seen through the first five games. And it's what's so encouraging. It's the story of the Grizzlies season, in addition to already several impressive Ja Morant performances, I think.
Listen, if he can shoot 64% from three for the rest of the year, I think the Grizzlies are going to surprise some folks.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's pretty safe to say.
But, I mean, obviously, if he just – at this point, to me, it's also – it's more – eye test than it is numbers. Like, I think the thing that is encouraging about it is the fact that the eye test tells you so far this has been a hit, but then when you start looking at numbers, you're like, okay, like it's not. Sometimes you'll see like where a guy might have good numbers and the eye test doesn't necessarily pop. To me, it was always the Bradley Beal. Like, your eyes always told you he's not as good of a player as his numbers were, but at the same time, both line up right now. And then when you're just kind of watching the game, it feels like he just has an impact on it.
Yeah, all the time. And I tweeted this last night. Or
I would love to know.
In the afternoon. Because I was just messing
around. Oh, you're fun with numbers?
Yeah.
George was reading. George, my new thing is George has to read me Twitter.
Oh, there we go.
Because I got hacked, yeah.
Yeah. So, obviously, the sample sizes are minuscule. So, they matter not at all. But it was just fun to do anyway. I went through two-man lineups on NBA.com, and I filtered it to lineups that have played more than 25 minutes together for the Grizzlies. This was before the game last night. I imagine these might be better now at this point. The highest offensive rating, Javon Small and Cedric Coward. The highest net rating, Aldama and Cedric Coward. The highest assist percentage, John Conchar and Cedric Coward. The best true shooting percentage, Jalen Wells and Cedric Coward. The fastest pace, Jalen Wells and Cedric Coward. Player impact estimate, the highest pie, as they call it, Santi Aldama and Cedric Coward. He's part of every single two-man lineup that leads the Grizzlies with more than 25 minutes going into last night. He impacts the game in ways that shows up on the box score and ways that doesn't show up on the box score. And I think it's been really fun for the Grizzlies fans to have something to hold on to in a season that, like, look, the team signaled that they were prepared to take a step back, right? And maybe that is still the case. And they're 3-2. They haven't been like tremendous at all. But when you watch what he's able to do, it really gives you a lot of hope. There was another Grizzlies thing that I wanted to talk about here in this first segment, Jeffrey,
right?
And that is something that I wrote over at the Daily Memphian. As you know, Flying Fish, the restaurant downtown,
yes,
has made some news this week.
So we've heard.
First citing civil unrest for the reason that they are closing. And then I believe there's been a statement since that said that was the wrong language and we didn't mean to say that.
They meant kind of like the perception around civil unrest, I think, was the statement.
Yes. And that's not just affecting them. That's affecting every restaurant that's downtown. And I know Jeff has tried to promote downtown dining on the show. I join him in that. There's lots of restaurants that I love downtown. You know, my wife and I used to frequent Majestic Grill downtown. That was one of our favorites. And the downtown coffee shops I still frequent all the time. Hive is great. Love getting breakfast there. It's a really cool spot to stop in. And downtown restaurants need people to go to eat there.
Absolutely.
Like, they need the business, especially right now. And I wrote a story over at the Daily Memphian. I hope you'll go read it because I think it's one of the better features I'll do this season. And it's about their rookie tradition of forcing the rookies to go pick up the meal for the initial team flight when they leave Memphis. So, have you read this yet, Jeffrey?
I've not.
Perfect. South Main Sushi is the spot where the Grizzlies always get their to-go order on the first leg of their road trip. So when they leave to go,
like for the bus, this is what they have in their hands on the bus when they go to the plane to get the charter.
Well, they all meet there, but yeah, the players get on the plane, and one of the rookies is supposed to go pick up the food and take it onto the team flight so that they can eat on their way and fuel up the day before the game. It's South Main Sushi, which they don't only serve sushi. Do you have a guess at what the Grizzlies to go order is for the team? Now this is this is the Grizzlies players and the staff that's on the flight. What do you have a guess? I'll give you a hint.
I'm going to say I kind of need to see the menu.
It is
So it is all just purely sushi.
It's not sushi.
Oh, that's so hibachi.
It's hibachi.
Yeah, of course.
It is, I'll just tell you.
Steak and chicken?
No. 30 orders of chicken and shrimp fried rice.
Mm.
10 orders of chicken fried rice with 30 teriyaki sauces and 50 yum-yum sauces.
Mm.
House-made yum-yum sauce, which I'm a big yum-yum sauce guy, so respect on that one. This tradition started with Mike Conley, believe it or not. So this has transcended sort of, the final player of the
generations.
Grit and grind, the final player of the grit and grind era for the Grizzlies, and it's now made it eight consecutive seasons of this to the current iteration of the team, and no player has been above rookie duty. Every single rookie has been into South Main Sushi at some point to pick up the food and take it to the team flight. What I love so much about this story is not just that it, you know, has been passed down for so long, but I talked to Lee. She is the owner of South Main Sushi. She took over 8 years ago, and she's a huge Grizzlies fan. And business right now,
I can see why,
is hard, right?
For sure.
And especially on the weekdays for downtown business, when there's not as much going on. And especially during the off season, and to have the Grizzlies support a local business like this, because that is not a cheap order. Right?
No,
that's a big order for them, and it takes them 4 hours, starting the night before, to prepare that order, and like to listen to what it meant to her that the Grizzlies do this. And what it means to her to get to meet all the rookies as they come in and get to know them as people, not just as basketball players on TV, is exactly the type of thing that I strive to write about when it comes to covering sports, because I think it matters so much that we don't view these athletes just as robots on FanDuel Sports Network, but as human beings. And the way that the players take the time for that staff really matters to them. And that's everyone. This was a thing that Jaren passed down from Mike to the team. Jaren frequents the place, and his order, they call it the Jaren Special, chicken and shrimp fried rice with three individual yum-yum sauces. Like, this is, it's something that Jaren passed down, but has now touched every single Grizzlies player. She told the story about 3 years ago when Ja Morant walked into that establishment, and it was after a bad Grizzlies loss, and he still took the time with all of those folks in there because he knows the work that they're putting in to make sure that they're giving them quality food, to make sure that they are, you know, on top of things. They don't want anybody to get sick. So they spend a tremendous amount of time and effort into feeding the team, and the players show that love back. Ja left them a $1,000 tip after a bad loss. And she talked about what that means to her staff. She employs 15 people in downtown Memphis. But times are hard right now for those restaurants down there, and some of them are struggling. And for the Grizzlies to set an example of supporting local business in that way matters. And I hope you go read the story, because there's lots of good details in there, you know, about what they're eating and how the tradition came about. And there's a video in there from 6 years ago of Jaren and Mike Conley eating in the restaurant, which I thought was great. And so all kinds of details can be found over there. But It's a message that feels especially important right now as we talk about downtown and the state of downtown and the decreased traffic down there and supporting the places that you love. And one of the things I loved about one of Lee's quotes was that, you know, she talked about they need people to go downtown to eat. But if sushi isn't your thing, go downtown and eat somewhere else, right? Go downtown.
Or eat hibachi.
Yeah, or eat hibachi. Eat hibachi or go downtown and eat somewhere else. Like, they're all in it together. They want to be supportive of the other restaurants in the area. They want everybody to go downtown there and keep some of our downtown businesses in good standing because, you know, if we're going to revitalize downtown and we're going to, you know, talk about the future of the team and trying to get more people down there and get more traffic in the area and get more people to go to games, I think the surrounding area is particularly important. And I just loved what it meant to South Main Sushi that the Grizzlies, you know, have made such a commitment to them and the opportunity that it provides them. And also the chance for the rookies to get to meet some people around town that, you know, own local businesses and get to know Memphis for more than just the activities at FedEx Forum. So please go check that out. That is over at the Daily Memphian. It went up this morning. All right, when we come back, we will talk some college football. The Tigers are in action tomorrow night against Rice. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Drew Hill filling in for Jeff today on 92.9 FM ESPN. We did have a World Series game before we get into college football last night, Jeffrey. Did you catch much of it? I didn't get to watch all of it.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I think the thing that was interesting is they jumped on Snell early. Obviously, and I think it's always just funny how we think when one team loses like the big 18 inning game that they're just done, and we kind of dismiss the fact that, hey, you know, the other team had to play 18 innings too, like they're tired too. And it was almost like I just always kind of felt like we wrote the Blue Jays off too soon. Obviously, with Yamamoto going in game six, that's a tough ask. It feels to me like we're getting a game seven, which I don't know, like, what else can you ask for? I just hate that it's going to be on Saturday.
Yeah, and the Dodgers won that game without having to put Yamamoto back in.
Yep.
Which I think was a big deal because it sets up what you're going to get in game six.
Yep.
I've just mostly been impressed with the Blue Jays because everybody viewed the Dodgers as this Death Star, and here the Blue Jays are now taking a series lead back to Toronto, which you could not have anticipated. But Ohtani's the biggest star in this World Series. Vladdy's not far behind him. Like, he has just been so good, especially in the postseason overall.
Yeah.
And what a story that is, you know, that he's the son of Vladimir Guerrero, who was this awesome MLB player. And I just loved that they played a video. There was a video that was shared on Instagram, and it was a message from Vlad Guerrero to his son that he didn't know he was going to fall in love with baseball or have a swing or anything, but just how proud of him he is. And I just thought that was
a great clip.
Yeah. It hits you right in the heart. But it's been a very fun World Series. And I also think the Blue Jays pitching has been a little bit better than you would even expect. Like, everybody knew that they were pretty good, but to have a rookie out there last night.
Yep.
And him be that dominant was pretty impressive. And I know they give out respect burgers on the Jason and John show. I just want to say, I'm giving out a respect burger to Justin Bieber.
Mm, the Biebs?
The Biebs was at the game last night. He was tweeting from the game in his Blue Jays jersey. Respect. I'm tired of these celebrities that just catch the Dodgers itch and then end up in Dodgers gear or whatever. I mean, it's somewhat like the Lakers, right? When you go to the Lakers games, you see a lot of people sitting courtside, and you're like, yeah, they're not really here for the game. They're here to be seen. Right?
Correct.
Biebs is there supporting the Blue Jays, his hometown team. So I love that. You know, I people need to stick with their teams. You can't just move to L.A. and then all of a sudden become a Dodgers fan. That's no fun.
So the two that I thought that kind of annoyed me the most, because I kind of like these guys, what were Brad Pitt and Glenn Powell doing in, like, Dodger gear?
Glenn Powell?
He's like Mr. Texas.
Yeah. You can't be both, buddy.
And then, like, Brad Pitt's, like, from Springfield, Missouri. Like,
it epitomizes what I dislike the most about the Texas fan base. And that it's cowboy culture, but it's very much fake cowboy culture. And somebody might get on me for that, but it just bothers the heck out of me when you see some fraternity bro in his cowboy hat.
Yeah, no, it's
that
definitely like
grew up in the suburbs.
It's more
and not
of a fashion
farm
than it is a lifestyle.
Yes.
You know?
It's and Glenn Powell.
That one just kind of
Dodgers jersey.
That one
Mr.
that one
Texas.
Hurt me.
Come on, man. Come on. You know.
Like, you're the guy that like doesn't even quote unquote, I don't live in LA cuz like I like it better in Texas. It's like that's going to be your brand, man.
I bet you he was in Astros jerseys once upon a time while they were winning World
Series. I've always wondered if he was Rangers or, because I think he's actually from Austin, and Austin's like that weird, do you go Rangers, do you go Astros?
But you can't go Dodgers. I mean, it pains me to see people switch sides like that and inevitably end up in Dodgers gear. I get that the logo's iconic or whatever, but it's just, yeah.
I mean,
shout out to Bieber for representing his hometown.
L.A. is a Laker, a Dodger town.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Onward to college football. This was initially pegged as one of the best slates of the season, if not the best. How disappointed are you in the games this weekend, given what
listen,
we thought?
You texted me this. I don't want to call you out, but I just got to say I'm smelling whiffs of some Bama bias. This is the...
You think this is a great slate?
I think this is a fascinating slate because one of my favorite things about college football season is what happens when it becomes tight booty hole season. And there's a lot of teams right now that, yeah, we think they're good. And we think, if the playoffs start today, they're in. But we're about to watch the pressure get to a lot of teams, and that's where I think this starts to get fascinating.
Okay. I'm going down the list right now. Ready? Ohio State's a 20.5-point favorite.
Okay, but let's even start with tonight. Tulane goes to UTSA. Tulane, there's lots of people that are sitting there going, yeah, I know Memphis is in the driver's seat, but Tulane's really the best team, and they've got them penciled in. This is a weird game where UTSA hadn't been that good, but you got to go on the road on a Thursday night. They haven't been great at stopping the run, and UTSA runs the football pretty well. Like, that could be one, like, oh boy, you're on the road on a Thursday night in kind of a half-empty Alamo Dome. Like, how does that work out? That always fascinates me. Then tomorrow,
Memphis.
Like, Memphis is going to be in a sleepy Rice spot, and Rice is an option team now that, like, you've just come. How did you handle a big win? Like, that's a fascinating, like, this is not the trap game that the East Carolina game is obviously could be, but this one's up there.
You may have sniffed out my Bama bias, because I'm going to admit that almost everything I bring back to my own college football team, because that's what we are. We're very self-centered and spoiled. I was thinking about this on the drive-in as it relates to Memphis, and I've watched almost every minute of Memphis football this year. I've gotten to watch a lot more than I typically have in the past. And Memphis and Alabama have some of the same tendencies, which is, it's not the big ones you worry about.
Yeah.
Because they tend to show up in those games. It's this exact spot for Memphis that you worry about. Because these are the games that end up being way closer than you thought. Well, last week for Alabama, it was South Carolina. So they have, they belong in the same pot, you know, as it relates to the way that the season plays out. I feel pretty good about Memphis at Rice. I just don't think Rice is very
good. Well, it's going to be a limited possession game because Rice is as slow of a tempo team as any service academy. So it's a limited possession, and it's like one of those games where if you kind of squander a couple of possessions, you can wind up being in this weird game.
Just don't turn it over.
Correct.
Right.
I totally agree. Run the football, dominate them, and don't get caught. Don't get caught hanging around.
If you take care of the football, I feel like Memphis is going to win this game.
All right, then we go to Saturday. I'm with you on Penn State, Ohio State. Like, yeah, like that game,
that has lost a lot of its luster.
I mean, I think if Fox could go back and do their Big Ten draft, knowing what they know now, this would not be the big noon Saturday game. Like, because, you know, they have to draft at the beginning of the year.
Right. Where would they be going instead? Indiana, Maryland?
You could talk me into, I don't know if, because Maryland is.
You're not going to Purdue and Michigan.
I bet they would have taken, since the game's at Nebraska, I bet they would have taken USC Nebraska.
Which is brands, but it's.
Yeah, but I mean, that's going to be a better game.
Yeah.
We're talking about a 6.5-point line versus a 20.5-point line.
Yeah. Something tells me maybe we're going to get a wake-up call from Penn State a little bit, and they'll be able to keep it close for a half or so. But
I don't know.
Ohio State's pretty dang dominant. And look, if Penn State has struggled to score against some of these other teams, that Ohio State defense is as good as it gets.
But see, then we got, like, at 11 a.m., all right, Vandy at Texas. Like,
better game, Vandy at Texas or Florida and Georgia?
Vandy and Texas. Now, I don't know, because I think part of it is we have no idea what we're going to get out of Florida. Like, Florida could just be a zombie, or we could maybe see, hey, fired Napier. Maybe they're going to let Lagway cook a little bit more. They got nothing to play for.
It gets weird sometimes. Yeah.
Now, that's also been a game that Kirby has largely handled. That is one I want. I have no interest in betting that game.
Vandy at Texas. Is Arch going to play for sure?
So, what do you think the line is saying? Because I know what I saw on that play. Arch got knocked the F out.
It was bad. I mean, yeah, he was,
like,
pretty hurt.
The team, like, we see guys come off and go to the blue tent for concussions all the time, but you always know it's a bad one when you have the doctor that's, like, walking behind him, like, hand on the back and, like, basically guiding him. That was what happened to Arch. Do we think this line is telling us anything? Because I kind of thought it was small. And so that, to me, kind of implied they don't think Arch is playing. Because essentially what they're saying,
I think it's more respect to Vandy.
And obviously Vandy has become one of those teams that people have bet on a lot because they keep covering. And so, like, there's entirely possible that's it. But My thing is, I know it's been fun to crap on Arch this year. If you've been watching Texas the last couple of weeks, he's been playing fine. And on top of that, he's one of their better players on offense. Like, their offense is that bad. And so this idea that all of a sudden if he's out that, oh, maybe Texas will be better, it's like, no. If I know he's out, I'm betting Vanderbilt.
I agree with you to some degree, but I also think Texas has been saved in a lot of these games by, like, special teams and things you're just not going to consistently predict will happen. They don't really seem to have that many game breakers that can, like, bust a game wide open offensively, yes, weapon-wise. And Vanderbilt's so sound that it just to me, this is the best game.
I don't want to overreact to one game, but the whole reason like why I love this part of the calendar, like, they were pretty fortunate to beat Missouri last week. Like, if Prabula doesn't get hurt, I think that game might go another way. Now, credit to them, Prabula gets hurt, they've got to make the play on fourth down. They do that, then they get the big run, and they did enough things to win the game. But that offense was really starting to, like, I started wondering, like, is the toll of the season weighing on them now? Because they've had, it feels like more than anyone, they've had a ton of these just high leverage games.
And sometimes when you win those games, it can be a good thing.
Yeah.
But it's the way that they've won the games, you know? If not for the punt return against Oklahoma, that flipped the game.
Now, Oklahoma couldn't score.
They got the same exact thing, yes, but Mateer was playing, I think, too early.
Or maybe he's not that good.
That's also possible. He doesn't see the field very well. My concern always, and we can let's just move down to that game then. You got Oklahoma on the road at Tennessee.
I mean, that's basically a knockout game.
Yeah, it is. And my concern with Mateer has always been, even as he was lighting it up to start the year, that guy epitomizes the word gunslinger.
Oh, it like is YOLO ball.
He is, yes, that's a very good way of putting it. He's throwing it into double coverage a lot.
I've always said he's more of a fun quarterback than he is a good quarterback.
I think that's true.
He is fun.
And Venables on defense almost always has a good game plan, and they have a great pass rush. And
Tennessee, that front is nasty.
Yes. Tennessee is built to sort of push against the strengths of Oklahoma, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think they do a really good job of getting the ball out quick. You know, they space the field really well and find different ways to attack. That game to me is all about turnovers. Like, it's all about turnovers, because if Oklahoma doesn't turn the ball over, that's going to be a very close and good game. I don't think Tennessee's going to run up and down the field like they did against Kentucky, against Oklahoma. Oklahoma's defense is just much better. In the end, it comes down to can Mateer actually make plays or not. Enough plays to keep Oklahoma in the game. I think Tennessee will win, but I think that that has the potential to be a good game.
I'm also not convinced at this point Oklahoma's a whole lot different than they were last year. I think they upgraded at quarterback, but I don't think it was to the degree that everyone assumed it was going to be. But they had a good defense last year. Like, this idea that all of a sudden they just have a good defense this year, it's like, well, that's not really true. Like, if you look at it last year, they get curb stomped by Texas. They lose basically like a 2-score game to Ole Miss. Like, they've played very similar games to exactly how they played last year. I'm just not convinced that they're that much different.
We've talked about how crazy the coaching cycle is already.
Oh, boy.
Is Oklahoma another one to watch if they can't figure out their offense? If we have Oklahoma,
I put the old
Penn
highlighter,
State, Florida, and LSU open at the same time, that is just
I know everyone
wild.
Did the whole... I think the most likely outcome is Mateer and Venables are back next year. But you let them lose out, and all of a sudden, you got questions. I'm saving that in the, I don't think it's likely, but I'm not saying like, oh, he's safe.
Louisville at Virginia Tech. Louisville is a 10.5-point favorite. Good team. I wonder if Jeff Brohm's sort of the underrated name in the coaching cycle.
I almost wonder why his name isn't popping up.
I know.
Like,
he is a Louisville guy. He you know, went to Trinity High School, which is right in the heart of town. You know,
the Brahms Louisville are synonymous with Louisville football.
100%. But if one of those big name jobs comes calling, I feel like you got to take a chance at one of those gigs. If you
he
are.
Got Purdue to the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah. He's a good coach. Undoubtedly. Indiana going to get a scare against Maryland?
I mean, I do think Washington's a good quarterback. Almost at times I get annoyed that he has to play with his team, but like I guess that was his choice. I find that hard to believe because one thing Indiana does is when they have a team that they're better than, they just beat the crap out of them.
Feels like South Carolina took their shot last week against Bama and blew it. I would be...
Yeah, but you know the last time Ole Miss won a game, an SEC game, by double digits?
When is it?
Georgia last year. Seven straight one-score games, I believe.
This might be the spot that changes.
It's possible, but I don't know.
The
like,
emotional letdown on the South Carolina side is a big one. And Ole Miss coming
I just
in
don't know
out.
If Ole Miss's defense is good enough to sit there and go, they're just going to dominate somebody.
We will see.
But I do.
Sellers is going to have to.
It does feel like they really unloaded the clip last week against Bama.
Yeah. No, it feels like that to me as well. And then College Game Day will be at Cincinnati and Utah. You know,
well, I mean, I also got my eyes late night Wake at Florida State.
Yeah.
Because that could be it.
That could be another opening, potentially.
Yep. Lose to Wake, and I bet that job's open on Sunday.
One loss Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Are they a playoff contender?
Absolutely.
How do you feel about them on the road at Utah? One of the most beautiful college football stadiums.
The problem is, there's this...
In the country.
I think we should weirdly treat Utah at night the same way we treat Tiger Stadium at night, but for some reason it doesn't get that branding. I know this. So Cincinnati's also, they had one of their best defensive players. He's out. So like that's kind of a big loss. But if you look at what they're doing, like they're just rolling through Big 12 play, and it's almost because we saw them lose on a bad throw on Thursday night of week one that everyone just kind of wrote them off. They've been really good, and they've been convincing. And I don't know about you. I have not loved this Utah team.
No. Utah in general, I think, most years is not an exciting watch. But visually speaking, watching a Utah football game at night,
yes,
especially when they're wearing
the setting
black
is awesome.
Uniforms,
yes.
Awesome. Did College Game Day make the right decision in going to that game?
Would you say Knoxville?
Maybe, but it feels like they were feeling the pressure to finally move off of.
And I don't
SEC
think there was a clear you've got to go to this game because obviously they probably built their schedule around going to Penn State and Ohio State, and that's not happening. So that's a good spot to go somewhere else. I also just don't get all that wrapped up in the. How dare Game Day go there? It's like, I don't know.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.